Today, we're going to continue on from where we were last week. Last week, we were in Jonah. Jonah chapter 3, and the topic was the God of second chances. And it illustrates how Jonah was given a second chance to be obedient after he was disobedient to God's original call for him to go share the fact that the Ninevites in Assyria would be slaughtered by God if they did not change their wicked ways. Jonah did not want to do that, so he went the other direction. But God put him in a big fish, the belly of a big fish, to give him time to really consider his actions and his activities. And we know that Jonah repented and went to Nineveh and preached for 3 days, sharing the God of Israel. And the people repented, and they were spared destruction. And that is a glorious illustration of God's grace and his mercy. But you know, sometimes when you see the extent of God's grace and mercy, there are some who are not going to be happy because of that. And that is the rest of the story. Today we're coming from Jonah chapter 4, where Jonah is disturbed by the fact that God did in fact spare their lives. So we're coming from Jonah chapter 4. And I'm going to read the first verse of Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. I'll just leave it right there for now. But our topic for today is, but wait, there's more. But wait, there is more. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this blessing us with, again, Lord, the ability to come together. Lord, although we are physically distant, we are together as one, Father. I pray for all who are viewing and listening, Lord, that you put their minds at ease at this moment so we can hear what thus saith the Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you have prepared me to share your gospel, Father. And I pray that I can do it with accuracy, Lord. And I pray that I can do it with clarity. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. But wait, there is more. As we look upon the last part of the third chapter, after the people of Nineveh believed in God and changed their ways and fasted and really sought the Lord, verse 10 says, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. He did not do it. And then the next line we read in chapter 4 is, but. Now, y'all know at Beacon Light my affinity for that conjunction, but, because that usually tells you there's going to be a change in something, a change in activities, a change in thought process, and it's the same here. This is a time that everybody should be rejoicing because people have been saved, they have been spared destruction. But then in verse 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Now, we went over last week why Jonah did not want Nineveh saved. It's because Nineveh was in Assyria, and the Assyrians were the mortal enemies of the Israelites. The Assyrians were sort of like the thug nation of the world. They took what they wanted. And destruction was in their path. If they wanted your city, they'd just overrun you, slaughter people and all that kind of stuff. So they were nasty people. So it was that type of nation. So Jonah did not think that they were worthy of being saved. But I asked the question, who are we to judge who is worthy to be saved? And who are we to get angry when somebody is saved? Who are we to get angry because we deem sometimes that somebody has done wrong so long that that wrong seems right to them, but yet they come to you, Lord, and we get angry. We get angry. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Now, it just not did not just displease him a little bit, but it displeased him exceedingly. Nineveh repented. Their repentance led to God's mercy, and this displeased Jonah. Jonah was pouting. Jonah was angry. Jonah was not happy. He did not understand what God had done and why he had done it. This is the prophet who did not understand the extent of God's mercy and had a limited view of God's plan for the redemption of his people. There are some folks today, Lord, that just don't understand the extent of your mercy and how you can save somebody who's been wrong for so long, how you can enter into their lives and allow them into your family. Sometimes we want to say, how dare they be allowed into the family of God? Don't you know what they've done? Don't you know what kind of lifestyle they've led? Don't you know who they are? So and he was angry also. Jonah was angry because he was the instrument of God's miracle. So he felt that he had a part in this. So he was angry. The question today is, how many of us miss the joy of being involved in God's work due to anger and self-centeredness? How many of us miss the joy of watching bad people change their ways because we don't think they're worthy according to our value system? Well, guess what? None of us are worthy. And that's why I got emotional when Sister Morrison sung the song, because none of us are worthy. And I'm so glad, Lord, that you thought that we were worthy enough to save you. We were worthy enough that you sent your son to die for us and redeem us back to you. So Jonah in this illustration was angry. And then in verse 2, Jonah prayed. So he prayed to the Lord saying, oh Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? And Jonah is saying, isn't this what I said? I didn't want to do this because I knew that you are full of mercy. I didn't feel like they deserved to be saved, but yet you saved them. Verse 2 again, therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God. So even here, Jonah is acknowledging that he knows the attributes of God. He knows that God is gracious. He knows that God is merciful. He knows that God is slow to anger. He knows that God has an abundance of loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. So in other words, Jonah is saying in verse 2, I told you so, Lord. Jonah was offended by what the Lord had done. He acknowledged the Lord's mercy, but felt things should have been Jonah's way. Jonah complains about God's goodness by describing his character. He is gracious. God's benevolence to those who don't deserve deliverance. God is gracious. God is merciful. He is compassionate. And when you think of that, by that compassion, that's the type of love a mother has for their child. He is slow to anger. He is patient. He has great kindness. He has much love. And he relents concerning destruction. Or as the King James says, he repents of all evil. We serve a God of a second chances. And for some, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh chances. But Jonah is angry because of what God has done in saving the people of Nineveh from destruction. And he gets so angry, he thinks that he is unworthy to go forward. Look at verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah, you'd have thought Jonah would have learned his lesson when he fled the Lord the first time and he was thrown overboard from the boat during a storm and his life was almost taken away from him. But you know what? Here's the thing. The same God that saved Jonah by putting him in the belly of the fish to be saved from the storm, to be saved from drowning, is the same God who had compassion on the people of Nineveh once they repented. So it's interesting, in chapter 2, once he was delivered on dry ground from the belly of the fish, Jonah praised God for saving his life. Now he prays for God to take his life. Think about it. 2 chapters, days apart. On one, he's praising God for saving a life, his life. But now he prays, God, to take my life. You know, sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes we get so involved in what we're doing, we can't really understand what God is really doing. Sometimes we are so focused on us, it's all about me, that we can't see that God is using us to help somebody else. Elijah had the same problem back in 1 Kings, where he pleaded for death. He pleaded that he be put to death because of the lack of worship among the Israelites, and the evil queen Jezebel sought to kill him. Elijah was used as an instrument of God to save many people, but Elijah could not see that because he was so focused on the lack of worship instead of focusing on who was worshiping. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we feel like a Jonah because we're focused on the wrong things, or we are so focused on one thing and not looking at the big picture. And in verse 4, then the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry? God is saying, do you have a right to be angry? This is a rhetorical question because God already knew the answer. He knew that the anger of Jonah was misguided, and he proceeds to help Jonah understand his compassion. Is it right for you to be angry? Verse 5. So here's what Jonah did. Jonah went out of the city of Nineveh and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. Jonah was pouting. Jonah left the city. Jonah went someplace where he could be sheltered. And he sat there in the shade so he can observe the mercy of God on the city, all the while feeling sorry for himself for having played a part in this. And to illustrate how wrong Jonah's activities and thought process was, God used a beautiful illustration. And let's look at this. It begins in verse 6. And the Lord prepared a plant. It might say a vine if you're reading from King James. Lord prepared a plant and made it cover up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Here's Jonah pouting. Here's Jonah sitting in a sheltered area. But you know, no matter how sheltered we think we are, you know, the shade will disappear, the sun will come. And we need protection. So that's what the Lord did. He provided this plant and made it so it sheltered. It covered wherever Jonah was, this plant covered it up so it could be shade for his head. It could be shade for him. Now, a lot of us know what it's like to be outside. And to be outside, and that hot sun starts hitting us on the head. That hot sun starts affecting us. And what do we look for is shade. We look for comfort. So God prepared this plant to comfort Jonah. And Jonah was very grateful for what God had done in providing the plant. Verse 7, but as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. So it damaged the plant and it withered. So here's the illustration. Here comes this plant full of shade. Here comes this plant. You know, the day goes into nighttime. Jonah's resting. He's resting. So when he wakes up, a worm has affected the roots of the plant somehow. So the plant starts to wither. And with that withering, Jonah loses his shade. And in verse 8, and as it happened when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind. That means a mighty east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Again, Jonah is saying he is suffering now. He is suffering. He no longer has that shade of protection. He no longer has the comfort of the shelter. Excuse me, as it was, he is feeling the effects of the heat on his body, that he is growing faint. Here he is looking for what God is going to do to the city of Nineveh, but yet he's the one who's suffering. How many times, my brothers and sisters, do we end up suffering when we get angry when God is at work in the lives of other people? How many times do we end up being the one hurt when others are rejoicing that the sinner has been saved and has come to himself and has united with the church? How many of us are envious because we know their past activities? We know their life. We get angry. We pout. We don't want to welcome them. We say we'll wait and see what happens. How many of us are like that? And we are the ones that end up getting weak. We are the ones that end up about to faint. We are the ones who suffer when we should be rejoicing. He suffered so much that again, he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. This is the same sentiment Jonah had early on when the great storm came on the boat and they were trying to figure out what was the cause of the storm. And Jonah's like, I am the cause. Throw me overboard. For it's better for me to die and the ship be saved. Now, at first glance, we look at this illustration and we say to ourselves, what does this really mean? Well, I'm glad inquiring minds want to know, because let's share what it really means. Look at verse 9. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. Jonah is saying, it is right for me to be angry. It is right for me to be angry about that plant disappearing that gave shade to me. It is right for me to be angry that you have saved the Ninevites. It is right for me to be angry. It is right for me to be angry. And in verse 10, but the Lord said, let me share this with you. That whole plant was a setup for what God wanted to illustrate for Jonah. Verse 9, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? He said, it's right for me to be angry even unto death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant, for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. and should not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock. What God is sharing this truth with Jonah, essentially saying, you had pity. You felt sorry for the plant disappearing that was providing shade for you. And you had nothing to do with making that plant. You had nothing to do with providing that shade. God is saying, that was me doing that for you. You had pity, but yet you did not have pity for Nineveh. He's saying that a plant was more important to you than 120,000 people being saved. Jonah, I think you got your priorities out of order. You were sorry because the plant was gone. You had it one day and then it perished the next day. So you became angry about that. But the Lord is saying is that you didn't create the plant. I did. You didn't make it wither. I did. Therefore, you didn't make the Ninevites. You didn't make that city. You did nothing with that city. But I did. Whereas Jonah, I had mercy on you by providing you that shade. And now you're angry that it's gone. And I had mercy on Nineveh. And now you're angry that they're saved. Think about our priorities sometimes. Again, here's the big picture. God has a plan. God has a plan. You look throughout this book of Jonah, and we see a figure that should be celebrated, but we see a figure that should be pitied. We see a figure who thought about himself and how he'd feel about God's mercy instead of celebrating God's mercy. There comes a time, my brothers and sisters, that we need to put aside our own feelings about things. We need to put away our own prejudices about certain things. We need to not look at people and wish they you know, destruction comes upon them, no matter how bad they've been to us. But we need to pray for their salvation. And when God has given us an opportunity to help somebody else out, do we do it? Or do we turn and look the other way? Do we devote our resources to something else and say, let somebody else take care of them? It's not all about us. It's not all about us. Last week when I was sharing, the third chapter was a chapter of celebration of Jonah. But the fourth chapter is a chapter of reflection for all of us. So I was inspired to continue on with the fourth chapter and tell you the other side of the story. You know, as a boy, I used to listen to the radio for my father when he'd come home for lunch sometimes. And he used to listen to a talk show, a guy named Paul Harvey. Some of you might remember him. And Paul Harvey would tell you a fact about something or such situation or a person. And then he always would say, now on to page two. In other words, let's look at the rest of the story. I challenge us in our lives to continue to look at the rest of the story, to continue to ask ourselves, are we doing what the Lord wants us to do? Why do we ask God to direct our steps and order our steps if we're going to veer off the path anyway? If we want to do things our own way, it seems absurd that somebody would be angry over someone being saved. But yet that does happen. We get angry sometimes when we see the works of God in somebody else's life, especially if it's somebody we don't care for. Let us open our hearts. Let us open our minds. If we're going to ask ourselves to do God's will, let us be receptive of him leading us to do his will. Jonah did not want to do this because he knew the outcome. Where God is leading us, we don't know the outcome, but we do know wherever we go, God is with us. So I thank him for that fact. And Lord, I'm not as smart as Jonah was. I can't figure some things out like Jonah did. But Lord, then again, I pray that I don't wish evil on anybody, regardless of what they've done for me or my people. Jonah is a perfect illustration of someone who cannot comprehend the vastness of God's mercy and God's grace. And we are still like that today. We cannot comprehend the vastness of his mercy and his grace. All we can do is watch. And when it's time for us to help, let us not be like Jonah and go the opposite direction and wait for a second chance to come do what God wanted us to do in the first place and be angry about the results. God's ways are his ways, and it's not our ways. So I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this message. I thank you, Lord, for the illustrations you used in this message. And I just pray that we can take something from this message. God bless you. I certainly pray that this message has been thought-provoking and inspiring for each and every one of us. I know it surely has for me. At this moment, we're going to open the doors of the church.